Rock.
Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana scores!
Good evening and hello. Well, I guess it's good evening for us. I don't know whenever you're listening to this. It may not be evening. Insert time of day here to all the Rowdies family out there. Welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show. Yes, we still exist. It's an off-season slash turkey season discussion. It's been a little while since we put an episode out. There's been a little bit of news, and we had an idea for a thematically relevant show for the time of year that we're going to put this out. I mean, if you're listening to this like 3 or 4 years afterwards, it may not make a lot of sense, but this is our Thanksgiving episode. You know, if you watch certain, like I'm a big Doctor Who fan, to always have like the Christmas specials, which are coming back when the new season starts, although there is a new episode coming out like this weekend. But we're going to do we'll do a Thanksgiving special instead, because we are not travelers in time and space.
Yet.
Day's not over. So who knows? Anything can happen this weekend. Ben, have you been? It's been a little while. It's been 11 days since the last time I saw you, because we were sitting a few feet apart. Actually, I didn't even realize that you and Dominguez were right behind me at the table next to me at Dan's wedding until I went to the bar to get a drink and came back. And I was like, oh, you guys. Cool.
It's like, y'all.
I know. Last time we were speaking to each other, like you were in a nice little suit and I was in a shirt and tie feeling all fancy. Lots of things have changed since that time. We don't have to go into all that. But how you been?
I mean... So some of y'all know, some of y'all don't know. It's been a bit of a roller coaster the last couple weeks. But I would say today I'm having a good day. I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm one of those people that likes Turkey Day. So I'm looking forward to enjoying a little turkey and stuffing and all the good things that come with it. So I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, 11 days ago, we were all dressed up. It was your table, my table, and the one next to us where Jake was at. Those are the only tables I knew at that wedding. I knew nobody else there. So all thank right, God so, you guys are so close. And I believe they did that on purpose, because yeah, they knew that we would all talk amongst ourselves, because yeah, everyone really else, I was pretty sure it was for Casey.
we went and we were looking for our table assignments after the ceremony, and Morgan was there and she was like, I hope we're all at the same table, or we all know somebody at the same table together. Cause it was me and my daughter was with me. And then we found us and it was like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Cause it was like me and my daughter and Morgan and, Mitch was there and Jackie and Mike and Brett and the whole crew. So it was like, all right, we got people we know. And then, yeah, like, you guys were next to us and Dominguez was over there and probably some other people I can't think of. My favorite part was, when Morgan came kind of sprinting back to the table and like dove into her seat and looked at my daughter and I, and were like, have you guys ever watched Only Murders in the Building? And I think you know where this is going at this point.
I definitely do.
And I was like, yeah, yeah, we've love it. I've watched all three seasons. It's a great show. And she's like, the guy that plays, and I can't remember the character's name, the guy that plays so-and-so is here. We're like, yep. No way. And she points, and it's like, you know, like 5 or 6 feet from us. And so it's like, oh my God, that's him. And Morgan keeps talking. So on the show, the character and the actor are deaf. It's kind of cool. In the first season, they do a whole episode like from his perspective where there's no sound at all. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And Morgan's like talking about it and talking, and Sloane's like, stop. He's right there. And she just looks at her and she's like, he can't hear it. It's fine. So she had gotten a picture. Morgan had gotten a picture. Sloane was like, I really want to get one too. She's like, but she looks at me. She's like, I really want you to be in it. And I'm like, I'm still getting over a cold. I kind of feel like a zombie. I don't want to get anybody else sick. I don't really want to be in the picture. So it took her a while, but she eventually went and got the picture and was, you know, sharing it with all her friends who've also watched the show. And it was like, and that's the first wedding she's gone to. That she went to one when she was a baby in Alabama one time. But there was nobody famous there. But she doesn't remember anybody. And she's like, are all weddings like this? And I'm like, no. All weddings are definitely not like this.
Exactly.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Dan had mentioned that he was going to be there a couple weeks before. And I passed all this whatever because he mentioned the show. And I'm like, I never watched it. So it wasn't anything to me. But then he mentioned like day of, he's like, oh, you remember I told you about so-and-so? He's like, oh, that's who he is. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Had no idea. And then like everybody there was all like, oh my God, that's so-and-so and so. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. Like I talked to him for like a minute. Cause like he could read lips and conversate with me, which was kind of cool, but he's a super nice guy. But yeah, that was like first wedding I've ever been to, like where was somebody like quasi famous at the wedding.
So we have a group chat going, and Dan was like, yeah, I was talking to him after the ceremony and I was like, look, I'm really sorry about all the attention, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, Dan, I'm an actor. I'm an attention whore. I live for this. It was wonderful. I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of low key. So it wouldn't be like, you know, because number one, it's their day. Like they don't want to, you know, you don't want to take away from them. But also didn't want him to be uncomfortable also. But so Dan was like, at one point, he's like, you know what? I'm not even going to send out thank you cards. I'm just going to send out. I'm going to get him to sign a bunch of headshots and just mail those out. Like, can I get a personalized one there? Because I like the show too.
This is my take home gift right here. This is the till the end of time scarf.
So we have been joking like before you guys even came out with those things. We're like, they should have gotten scarves. And then you guys came out with, and as soon as I saw like one person, I think it was Jeff, I saw with a scarf on, and I'm like, that's not a rowdy scarf.
Nope.
Like they did. They got scarves made. That's really cool.
Yep. No, it's super cool. The whole thing, the whole experience, the whole night was just, it was a lot of fun. And to be a part of that and share that day with them was awesome, man. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, so
I was just reading my book. The book that I got.
What book did you get?
The Last Duel, which is a historical book, but it's also it was a movie a couple years ago, which I had I'd never read it, and I had heard of the movie, but I've never seen it. And I like literally a day or two before, and I was like, "Oh, that Last Duel movie! I need to record that sometime and watch that." So now I have it recorded, but I'm going to read the book first. I started reading that a few moments before we got on air.
Nice, very cool. Yeah, I got the championship year that Liverpool won the league.
Oh yeah.
And so I got the whole breakdown of the whole season. It's actually super cool. It's all the stats, all the behind the scenes stuff, all the stories from the players. It's super cool. I'll be the first to admit I'm not a book guy. I am definitely a book on tape, if there were such a thing, whatever they want to call that now. Like that is more my style, but I have been thumbing through this thing and it is super cool.
Are you on Spotify?
I'm not subscribed to it. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So they just started a thing. I've had the premium / family account for a while. So that my daughter and I both have accounts on there, but now they have audiobooks and it's, you get like 15 hours a month included.
Oh, nice. If
you're a subscriber. So I've started listening. I've done some audiobooks in the past, never like on my phone, but like rented like either cassette tape or really dating myself here.
Just dangerous.
Well, I'm going to do a lot of that now on. So,
microfiche, or CD1. You looked it up on?
Huh?
Do you have some microfiche that you looked it up on?
Well, you know, it's the top of the little laser disc player, and make a mixtape out of it. I've gone back through, and it's funny. Like, I have this pile of books next to my bed that I'm meaning to read, and a bunch of those are in the audiobook collection. So I have them on my phone now, and I'm like, well, I bought the books. I might as well actually read the actual books.
Right.
I was like, well, maybe I'll go back and listen to them also. But I also have a couple of books that are on my Christmas list, and those are in there too. And I'm like, I still want the books though. I'm that guy.
So I have Audible since I have the Prime membership, and I canceled it when I moved down here because I don't drive that far anymore. Like, I literally live 5 minutes from work, so like my drive time when I used to listen to them is gone. But I would go through like a book a week basically, and since I moved, I haven't used it at all. So I've got like a bunch of credits used up, so I need to do it again. But the problem is, like, when I get home, I don't want to get home and then put on my headphones, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll figure something out. Maybe I'll go take a good bike ride or something.
Well, and then
this is a soccer podcast. Do you think we should maybe talk about soccer? I'm sure people have like checked in, like, what is going on in this show? Like, I realize it's been a minute, but what are these two talking about?
Soccer podcast. Soccer. We got audiobooks to talk about. Then
we've crossed everything off of the list here, but soccer, the one thing this show is all about.
Should start calling it the Unused Substitutes Variety Hour now.
I mean, it kind of should be. I mean, the way we structure this thing, it kind of just goes that way.
Look, it's the off season, and we got some news, but we also got some time to fill.
True, very true, very, very, very true. You know what? We're filling your time with the sweet dulcet tones. All right, you can deal with the people.
Yeah. Plus, like, you and I got all of our, like, you know, unfun life updates out of the way before we start recording, so now we get to do the fun stuff and
exactly
be happy with it. So deal with it.
You're welcome, people. You're welcome.
Yeah. Audiobooks, go get them. All right. So speaking of the soccer stuff, since the last episode, we did our little catharsis episode, which I feel awful. I never got around to publishing that one either. So
did that ever make the light of day?
No, it didn't. I had it and I was like, oh, I'm going to put this out there. Right. It was like, I was sick for a whole week and it was one of those, like, I'm going to post this tonight. Yep. And then I was like, no, I'm going to go to bed at 7:30. I'm going to post it tonight and I'm going to go to bed at 7:30. Then all of a sudden it was like, I'm going to post it like this morning and then, they're going to announce the new head coach, which most of the episode was us saying, you know, they really got to figure out what they're going to do with the head coach position first before they can go any further and start making some player decisions. And all of a sudden it's like, well, okay.
Kids, here's the clip notes of that last episode. Two grumpy old men complaining about soccer, not happy with an ending.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a very cheerful episode. So you know what? We're probably saving. I just saved you 50 minutes of listening right there. You're welcome.
In the words, to paraphrase the words of Tom Cruise in the movie Cocktail, to paraphrase it, nothing ends well, otherwise it wouldn't end. And that was kind of basically how the last season came to. But
yes,
we have lots of new faces. We have lots of returning faces. We have some faces not returning. So where do we want to start? You want to start with players? You want to start with coaching?
You know what? Let's talk about the players. Let's talk about who we've got, who's out of contract, who's been let go. Let's start there. I've got the players under contract for 2024.
Well, actually, hold on. Let's real quick, before we get into that, let's just go ahead and give a shout out to Cal Jennings. Charlie Dennis made the first team all league. Yes. From the awards at the end of the year.
Yep.
Were two contributors that helped Tampa Bay's offense to, again, another I think the last time that they were this far up there, they were the league's best offense. This time around, they were the Eastern Conference's best offense.
Yep.
So congratulations both of them for, I mean, Charlie Dennis was in the team of the week. Like, I don't know. I think he was in the week, like in the team of the week more often than he wasn't. Right. So,
and even when he wasn't, it was just, he could have been. He could have easily been on that list.
Yeah. The blurb that the league wrote up in their thing, and this is both guys' first time selected to the all league team. Charlie Dennis, Tampa Bay Rowdies, first selection. An offseason arrival with the Rowdies, Dennis led the Rowdies with 64 chances created, good for third in the league's regular season, and recorded 11 goals and 3 assists while winning 71.4% of tackles and making 150 recoveries in a career-best campaign. Charlie Dennis will, spoiler alert, one of the names returning next year, thankfully. And then yes. Cal Jennings, Tampa Bay Rowdies, first selection. Jennings produced his best season so far in the championship with 19 goals and 3 assists to lead the Rowdies attack, posting a shooting accuracy rate of 66.7% and shot conversion rate of 33.3%. He also became the fastest player to reach 50 regular season goals in league history, reaching the mark in just his 90th appearance. Yep. So you get some info and a little stat of the day right there also.
Yeah. I mean, tell me a guy who didn't have a better second half of the season. If he has a first half the way he did that second half, there's no way he's not USL Championship Player of the Year. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, this is the guy, like, I went to one preseason training session, and this is before Leo got hurt, watched how he played in there, and I came away from there saying, this kid's going to score 20 goals. And he came very damn close. But like you said, a great second half of the season, because once Leo gets hurt, like, that threw a big wrench in how he was being used. And he got off to a slow start, and he had some slumps, and he had a couple knocks here and there. Most of his success comes in that second half of the season, where he kind of helps put the team on his back. And it's one of those, like, the way we saw him play is not how we've seen offensive players used in recent years. It was a lot of, like, let's boot this long. It's almost like throwing a Hail Mary or something. Let's just toss this up there.
Yeah.
He'll get onto it somehow, get past the first defender, and somehow fool the keeper. He's occasionally from an obscene angle.
Yes.
And he was one of the guys where when he took a shot, you felt more often than not. It was like, sometimes the guys take a shot and you're like, hey, you know, take a shot, see what happens. It was like, well, here comes a goal.
Yeah.
Because now a shot.
Some of those angles, some of the ways he got goals were just ridiculous. Like,
there's obtuse angles, but some of the angles he shot, literally obscene. It's a new definition of a type of angle. Obscene.
Agreed. Yes. So congrats to those two. I mean, to Callan. I mean, two guys who not only meant a tremendous amount to us, but to our success this year. And super glad that they are coming back, because I believe they are going to be huge for us going forward. So, yes, I'm glad you brought that up. As far as players under contract for 2024, we've got Connor Antley, Charlie Dennis, Jordan Doherty, Leo Fernandez, Aaron Guillen, Dan Harris, Zach Herivo, Lewis Hilton, Cal Jennings, Forrest Lasso, Joshua Perez, and J.J. Williams. So that, if I was I talked with John Morrissey earlier, and his Substack, the USL Tactics Substack, go check that out, people. John is just, we are lucky to have this guy reporting on our league, because the work he does is just fantastic. But not to give away his whole article that he wrote up about us, but I believe that 76% retention for next year, which, as we move forward in the pod, you'll see, like, that is going to be huge going forward into next season. That's your pretty much your best 11 coming back, guaranteed under contract. Like, that's really huge. So I mean, hands on, well done to the front office they didn't have to do anything extra under contract, but, you know, just good job overall retaining these players. I mean, this is the backbone of a very, very strong team. Definitely. Yeah,
Considering the fact that we know there was a new head coach coming in, they kind of threw it in here. They went old school Rowdy's press release style, because they're like, here's an update on our roster moves. Then at the very end, additionally, Nicky Law will transition to the role of assistant coach after leading the squad through the second half of 2023. An announcement regarding the club's next head coach is scheduled for Thursday morning. And I want to say this came out on like a Tuesday, if I remember correctly. So it was like, okay, they have a coach in place. They haven't announced it just at the time of yet. We kind of knew with a new head coach coming in that there was going to be likely some roster turnover. And there are some guys that were injured. There were some guys that, seemed to be, kind of just like their time here had run its course. Some of the players listed as out of contract: Jake Ehrman, Rico Rosarena, Abel Caputo, Ariel Martinez, Jan Ekra, Conor Sparrow, Jake LaCava. And it mentioned in here ongoing conversations for new contract, Phil Breno, Jan Ekra, Connor Sparrow. I was the only one that maybe surprised me a little bit was that LaCava wasn't listed as ongoing conversations just because I think his contract in Miami ended as well, too.
Yeah, and I saw that they released it from his contract.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to make room for Luis Suarez somehow, apparently. And
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I have no shame in saying I am an Inter Miami fan. I support that team. And if you want to hate me. I don't care. I love it. I'm all for Team Messi.
Well, I just hope that when they make this trip to Saudi Arabia in the not yet confirmed preseason.
Yeah, didn't they get debunked?
The original story was put out there with quotes from Jorge Mas, the owner, the managing owner or whatever. And then Miami released a statement saying this is untrue. We have made no official statements, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the that's whole what I statement saw.
Miami put out there had a big, this is absolutely not true until we post about it next week vibe to it. Like I'm 100% sure this is what's going to happen. They're just they're nitpicking that the owner hadn't made any public comments about their preseason thing. So like that's just a whole lot of this is absolutely not true until it's true next week.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah,
so they don't end up getting dismembered or whatever. Like what apparently happens to people who make the Saudis mad.
That is terrifying.
I'm just thinking,
on lighter news,
you send all these players over there, they might say, well, why don't you just stay here? Here's a bunch more money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something that you and I talked about that we've kind of heard from a number of different sources, nothing confirmed by the team. Of the three, Phil Breno, Jan Ekra, kind of throw them.
I get the perfect way to set this up.
Okay.
Let's just say that a little bird told us. What did the little bird tell us?
Oh, my gosh.
Look, Hunter. We've both been going through some crap recently. We get to indulge in set up like this. A little birdie.
We have it on.
I'm trying to do like a bird whistle over here. I'm terrible at whistling.
Oh, my gosh. Help us now, people. I'm so sorry. I'm going to apologize. I don't know where we're headed. This is how this whole pod's going to go. I'm just letting you know now, people. If you think it's getting better, it's not. It doesn't get better. This, Roddy, you thought during the season was chaotic. Well, just welcome to off season. All right. We heard it from a couple different sources, kind of close to the situation. Obviously, nothing confirmed by the team. I reached out. They really couldn't say one way or the other. But I'm hearing that Connor Sparrow is most likely to sign and come back, which, again, we don't know for sure. I mean, obviously, I imagine we'll hear things coming up over the next couple weeks. Usually those contracts take a couple weeks to kind of finalize. And I imagine now that the head coach is in, he's going to probably want to make a final determination on these guys, and then we'll move forward. Because, I mean, if you look around the league right now, there's a lot of big players moving and signing already. And I think he's going to want to be active and get going on that. So, but yeah, so fingers crossed, Connor Sparrow's coming back. I mean, because Raico Rosarena is gone and Phil Breno is under contract talk. So as it stands, we have no goalkeeper. So yeah, I'm a fan of Connor Sparrow. I think he's a fantastic goalkeeper. If you look, I think he finished in the top four in the entire league for keepers. So, I mean, he's a fantastic shot stopper, and I really hope he does sign. I like to see him come back. I mean, I'd like to see Phil and Jan both come back, but yeah. Connor Sparrow, please sign. Please come back.
Little bird. Sparrow. Little bird.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's cool. Let's talk about the guys. So this was the original list, and you know, people with clear minds or clear eyes and full hearts and working minds took a look at this and said, there's a couple names not mentioned in there, at least in the original one here, and it was not mentioned. Some of the names not mentioned: Lucky Mkosana,
yep.
Sebastian Dalgard, Yep. Freddie Kleeman, who I thought was kind of impressive as a newcomer this year as well, too. A few days later, and we're kind of skipping over the coach news. We'll come back to it, though. A few days later, and I thought this was kind of classy how they did this. They did this separately because both of these guys are members. I started referring to them as Centurions, the 100-appearance clubs. On Friday, November 17th, Tampa Bay Rowdies announced the club has declined contract options for forward Lucky Mukhsana and midfielder Sebastian Dalgard. So brings an end to Lucky's second stint with Tampa Bay, but he's made 119 appearances, 27 goals across all competitions, including the Mukhsana miracle, that very, very late brace against Louisville to send the Eastern Conference final into extra time where, oh gosh, I'm losing my mind. Who was it that scored?
Antley made the cross. I forget the guy's name, and that's Dos Santos.
Yeah. Steven Dos Santos. Gosh, it was like, I kept wanting to say Duba because that was the nickname, and but I knew he didn't like that, so I didn't want to use that. But it was one of the, he scores the winning goal, but honestly, when Lucky levels that game, everyone knew.
Yeah.
We knew, the Louisville fans knew, they knew how that game was going to end. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Lucky also was tied for Golden Boot in the Open Cup, not this year, maybe it was last year before. He had like four goals, two or three goals in one game against the Villages, and then another one. Like, it was all early round one. It was the year we got knocked out by Orlando.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When Neil got carded and thrown out. Yeah. 2 years ago. Yeah. I was at that game. I think Lucky scored the like late Rowdy's goal in that game too, if I remember possibly. But even though we got knocked out in like the third round, or at least our third game, he still was tied for the tournament lead in scoring. So that was kind of a cool thing for him too. I was at the Rays game earlier this year where they unveiled the statues for Evan Longoria and Aki Uemura.
Yep.
There needs to be a Lucky Mukhsana statue.
Yes,
somewhere at Al Lang.
100%.
I wish, and I'm sure this can't be done because of regulations regarding the field or whatever, but I always think about a couple years ago I went up to Boston when Liverpool played Roma at Fenway, and Fenway Park has that one outfield seat that's painted red because some home run or something landed there. Mm. I wish there was like just a spot on the field where Lucky headed in that goal.
Yeah.
To equalize that game. Just some kind of dot there or something.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So for you guys listening, like we put together a list of like our five things. And obviously we're always gonna have a bunch of stuff that kind of laps over. And this is one thing both Matt and I both agreed on is Lucky Mukhsana. And this is not, and I don't want to downplay losing
Sebastian Dalgard. We agreed on like nearly the entire list.
Maybe not in the same order, but pretty much, yeah, it pretty much.
Mine's kind of like no specific order.
Neither was mine. I just, as it hit me, I wrote it down, and this is just the way it came out. But again, definitely not taking anything away from Sebastian Dalgard and his contribution to the team. He is a fantastic, a fantastic player for us. A great leader on the field. Had a lot of great moments for us, and I am grateful for all he did for our club. So thank you for that, Sebastian Dalgard. We will miss you. But I mean, come on, it's Lucky Mukhsana. Just not just for who he means to this club, but just who he is as a person. I mean, I when I first left the Rowdies to take the job with the Rays, he is one of a few people that reached out to me directly because he's like, hey, I haven't seen you around the club, just checking in to make sure you're doing all right. And he didn't have to do that. I'm just, groundskeeper at the time. I obviously just transitioned over to the Rays, but he wanted to reach out and make sure that I was doing okay because he hadn't seen me around the club. And that's just the kind of guy he is. I mean, he and I have talked a couple times here and there, very briefly, but Lucky is just one of the kindest, just wholesome, just good to your core people an absolute icon for this club. And he is really going to be missed. I mean, him around the club, him on the sidelines, just such an incredible guy, incredible man. So yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I don't know how they could do it. Maybe could do like a hoops paint job on one of the seats behind the goal or something like a dedicated spot for just Lucky, or even over in the midfield seats or something. But something to kind of commemorate the something for him, because I'm with you. I'd love to see a statue or something. I think if there's any guy deserving of it, there's a handful of people I could probably think of. But when it comes to modern Rowdies, he's definitely got to be one to be up there for sure.
Yeah, I mean the 100 appearances, the fact that in both of his debuts for the Rowdies, both times he signed for the Rowdies, he's come on and scored or assisted in late game winners, which is like one of my favorite Lucky things ever. Back when we still did the pregame show, it was me and Mike Pendleton was guessing, because they were talking about the print that I have right over here hanging on the wall behind my head. And Lucky, like, we're in for part of the pregame show, and I forget, there was something else going on, and it was so noisy that I literally could not hear anything that either of them were saying, so I kind of had to let the two of them go. But there's a great picture someone took, and it was just cool just to kind of share the table with them. And he's honestly nicest guy ever. And you know, even a day or two before this came out, the Rowdies were promoting his book that he's his kid's book that's coming out. So you get the impression that this is on, you know, good terms, or at least as good terms as it can be when something like this happens. But I mean, like he didn't play a lot last year. I don't think he scored any goals in during the league at all. I don't think he ever started. He would make some substitute appearances here or there. And, you know, hopefully he stays involved. Hopefully he stays in the area, stays involved. I mean, maybe he wants to keep playing and there's a team out there that wants to give him a spot. If that's the case, then, you know, all the best for him. Ultimately, I would love to see him back in the area and you know, somehow involved with the team. Whether, you know, he's done youth coaching with the Rowdy U stuff, whether he, moves up and gets an assistant spot on the coaching staff here or something like that. He's just a great guy to have around. Great example for the players. Great, ambassador. You know, you read through all the comments online, and a lot of people, and you understand, like it's kind of a knee jerk reaction. But a lot of the comments were like, "Oh, he was my favorite player. He's the nicest guy. How could you do this?" And it's, you know, as fans, that's the way you get to look at it. But the team has to look at it from a different perspective, and you don't have to understand it or like it, but it is the way it is.
It's a business.
Working team management, because I'd just be too fixed on the guys that I like.
Right. No, I'm with you. I don't know that I could make those decisions either. And, you know, that's why I sit here on a podcast with you and I talk about audiobooks and bird jokes.
Yeah. Again, you mentioned Dalgard. 6 goals, 12 assists, 110 appearances across all competitions for the Rowdies. Has always been a big, if somewhat quiet part. Like, you know, he doesn't get not the flash of the 15, 20 goal scorers. Like, he's never gotten the attention that like a Sebastian Guinzotti or Leo Fernandez got, but was a key part to the offense, the way the team ran. I'm sure he's going to get picked up somewhere.
Oh, God, there's no way he doesn't.
See him playing again in the near future. So, best wishes to both of those guys. So, when they put this out there, real quick, I want to go through this. So, as of November 17th, this was the last official roster update. Defenders include Connor Antley, Jordan Doherty, Aaron Guillen, Forrest Lasso. That's a nice back four if we play a back four. Midfielders Charlie Dennis, Leo Fernandez, Deion Harris, Lewis Hilton, Zach Herivo, who we, you know, did not get to see much of, was acquired in a trade earlier on in the season. Got a lot of good words from his former teams and former teammates and fans of his former clubs. I'm glad to see him getting another chance, getting a chance to prove himself. And Josh Perez, who came in late, scored, I believe he had one goal, at least one goal for us. The nephew of former Rowdy Hugo Perez. Those two, I'm kind of cool with seeing them getting another opportunity because neither one of them got much of a shot based on either when they got hurt or when they were signed. And then Cal Jennings, JJ Williams up top. So there's some spots to fill that the new coach, who we're going to talk to in a second, we don't know how many spots are. Like, Neil Collins was famous for kind of running a tight ship, a smaller roster, because he didn't want to sign guys that didn't have a chance to play. But it always felt like at some point we got hamstrung with 13 guys getting injured,
right,
and then someone getting a yellow card suspension or something, and you know, all of a sudden we've got three on the bench. So whether the new coach, who we're going to talk about in a moment, does something different is something that we will see. Yeah, there's a lot, like, those guys that are all there, like, there's a lot of starters.
Yes.
In that list.
I mean, you could have a starting 11 with what we've got there, pretty much. And I think you could be competitive in this league, for sure.
Yeah. And that still didn't even have an official keeper, but we'll go ahead and pencil in Connor Sparrow, because Little Bird told us. And
yeah. I feel pretty good about that one. I mean, even though it's not official, I feel pretty good about that one.
You know, when little birds speak, I listen. Just say, when little birds are talking to us, that's when I start to listen. So, there's some, but a lot of the spots to be filled, like you said, are going to be more depth spots, it seems like.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I've been thinking a lot about this. I would not be surprised at all if we go younger this offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something in me just says we are going to go younger this year. I think we're going to be looking for young, hungry, raw talent. I think when you've got the core players that you do, maybe one, maybe two guys that are quote unquote veterans of the league, or at least established championship players, or League One players that have proven success. But I really do think we're going to go younger. I think with all the injuries and everything we had going on, I would not be surprised at all if that ends up being a thing. And part of my reasoning is because if you look at what happened to us at the end of the season, we just looked exhausted. We looked tired.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's because we have an older team, but does it have something to do with it? Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think there's some of that. And if you look across the league at the teams that had a lot of success, they're getting younger. I mean, look at Charleston. Charleston had a very young team. I mean,
yeah, they're finding some of these young talents, and it's not just that they're finding young talents that are right for this level. They're finding, and this is where I kind of would like to see us go, because it means that the type of player that we're attracting is the profile is a little bit different. You're starting to see it, like Louisville has done it with the Winder brothers, and Orange County's done it with a couple players, where they are being sold to, you know, not to Premier League teams or not to like Ligue 1 or whatever, but they're going to European sides in, you know, the Netherlands, and they're going to second division teams in sometimes in France. Like this is starting to become a more visible market for European clubs looking for talent.
Yep.
And I think that's a good spot to try and get ourselves into is that, yeah, we have a good veteran core.
Yes.
But we do need to go younger, and if you can get some of these talents in that catch the attention of these European sides, you know, it raises your profile internationally, but it also opens you up to more opportunities and you know, bringing in different players as well too. I think there's a need to go do that.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's one thing we haven't done. We don't develop players here. We just don't.
Yeah.
We find players that are established, and that's fine. Look, it's worked well for us. I mean, I have no complaint. Even if we were to go forward in that direction and keep that as our thing going forward, look, we've proven to make it successful. We've proven to make it work, but that's definitely an area that we have not had a lot of success or done very well on. And it's something, I mean, Neil tried to do. I think he had some, I mean, Tate, I think we talked about this midseason. Tate signed with the MLS Pro team.
Yeah,
or MLS Mix Pro, and then Santi Castellanos
signed, was the Dutch team, wasn't it? Wasn't it Eindhoven?
I don't remember. It's like a second or third division. Yeah, I think it's a German. I think it's German. Either way, but that's another kid who was 16 years old who was coming up, played for a couple of games, and end up now. Obviously, a little more that's through his club, you know, through Tampa United, but still signed in Europe early on and has been developing. And from what I've been able to follow of his career, is having some good success out there. You know, so that's something I'd like to see.
Duisburg, it's third division German team.
Okay. I thought it was third division German. Okay. So that makes sense. And he's had some success out there. So, I mean, you know, good for him. I mean, I'm perfectly happy with that. And again, if we decide to keep it with the same thing we've been doing, I'm good with that as well. I mean, either way, I'm happy. But personally, I would just like to see, I'd like to see a youth movement start working its way into our system. But, you know.
That's just, by the way, Santi with 9 appearances so far this season as a midfielder. That's
not, okay. Good for him, man. I mean, young kid out there trying to establish yourself in another country. I mean, that can't be easy. Like, I was watching, who's it? CBS did that, Kicking It, whatever.
Yeah.
And Landon Donovan came over there talking about as a young kid trying to establish himself in Germany, and just how tough it is to be out there by yourself. And some of it, you know, he didn't have the proper people around him, and I think Santi does, but how it's tough to go over there. Like, just because you're talented doesn't mean you'll have success out there. You know, like, there's a lot of factors that come into it. And, you know, I wish the best for him. And again, to your point, like, seeing, I mean, some of these kids from around the league making these jumps to European clubs. I'd love to get in on that. I mean, personally, because one, I think it raises our profile. Two, it raises. I mean, you're only as strong as your weakest link, right? So if you're quote unquote bottom players, which I don't know a better way to term that, but I mean, if our younger kids are coming in, our less talented or experienced kids are coming in and getting these kind of signings, it only brings up the whole level, you know? So, yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see how things go. And I'm hoping, I reached out to the club to try and get the new head coach on the pod for, or at least if they could do a one-on-one with him and then send it over to us so we could have an exclusive with him.
Right.
I'd like to do that because I want to get his thoughts on you know, what he sees from the team and what his thoughts are on younger players. Because it's definitely something I'd like to see.
I was looking up more Santi Castaneda stuff. 9 appearances so far. Duisburg is currently bottom of the 3 Bundesliga, and they've already had a coaching change. So a little bit of a rough start for him, but hopefully they do well. They're 6 points from being out of relegation zone, but 14 games in the season,
level,
league, so they've got some time. Hopefully.
And I also think at that level, it's less about, I mean, obviously team success is important, but it's also personal development at that point. You know, is he developing as a player? Because you could be on a bad team and sign with a better team the next year. If you're being successful, teams will pick you up. If you are a proven talent, teams will pick you up. It doesn't matter where you play.
So let's get to the big one, the new head coach. This is going to shock you. The Rowdies have gone for a Scottish guy in his, I guess he's a couple years older than Neil. He's actually in his 40s. I don't think Neil's even in his 40s yet, is he? Neil's still like in his 30s, right?
Yeah, he's probably 38.
The Rowdies have gone in for a youngish Scottish manager. Stop me if you've heard this before. Hey, wait, a former defender. A former former Scottish defender.
Yeah. I mean, keep that Urn Brew on tab, people, because right? we put them away just yet.
I'm kind of glad about this. But the Rowdies if you're listening to this, you're probably already aware. Rowdies have signed Robbie Nielsen. Doesn't really sound Scottish. Because I guess Neil Collins doesn't strike you as Scottish off the top of your head either. Robbie Nielsen has signed a multi-year contract to take the helm as head coach of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. At just 43 years old, Nielsen comes to Tampa Bay with an impressive resume and over 350 matches coached during his time at Hearts of Midlothian and Dundee United FC in the Scottish Premiership and England's MK Dons FC. With Hearts and Dundee, Nielsen was able to achieve the highest winning percentage of any head coach in either club's history, winning 58.8% of his matches at Hearts and 57.1% of his matches with Dundee. He won the Scottish second division twice, 2 years in a row, once bringing Hearts back up to the Scottish Premiership and then dropping back down. He went and took over for at Dundee and won the Scottish Championship with them that year as well too. Been nominated for Scottish Manager of the Year 3 times. Got Hearts to 3rd place and into the Europa League. So is an experienced guy with a certain level of success at you would have to say the Scottish Championship Premiership are. I'm not going to say they're comparable. I'm going to say it's probably not too far away. Like, once you wipe out, you know, Celtic and Rangers.
I was going to say, but I think pressure on those games is way higher than what you're going to see here.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's something to be said for that.
So,
but yeah, as far as like talent wise, yeah, I don't think it's probably that far off.
No, I you'd have a much better chance of putting some of these teams head to head and getting. It wouldn't be a shock if some of the top teams in USL could get results against the middle to bottom, and maybe on occasion the top teams. I mean, again, outside of Celtic and Rangers, getting results against against some of those teams. This to me was kind of cool. So I was not into soccer when I was younger, and my grandfather came from Edinburgh, where Hearts is based, and there's. I don't know if he was ever into soccer, but if he was, that I believe would be the club he would have supported.
Nice. That's kind of a full circle thing.
The other team in the area just doesn't seem like it would be his cup of tea. But he was always a big hockey guy, so I don't even know. He never ever talked about soccer, but I like to imagine. So he says, and you know, I have like the actual audio clips and stuff, but I don't know where I have them on my computer, so I won't play them right now.
Let's do the unprofessional. Insert audio clip here.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, you do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm giving you an opportunity for and pause.
And I'm just going to read instead. I'm so grateful for the fantastic opportunity the ownership of the Rowdies has given me to help this club continue its development, said Nielsen. Truly a great setup for soccer here in Tampa Bay. Look, the guy's got kind of a Scottish accent. If I put it in there, we might have to subtitle it.
Which, by the way, thank God we don't have to learn another language because we already know how to communicate with him.
Some of the players are already used to the accent. It'll be great.
Exactly.
There's a great training ground, all the facilities you need for the team to continue to progress and be successful. A big thing for me making the decision to come here is the good people already in place. That is so important at any soccer club. Robbie, it's okay. You can call it football. I know it's America, but just call it football.
Yeah, do it, buddy. Don't
There's
sell
real
out.
Positivity here and an ambition to continue to be successful. We've got a fantastic squad, and now it's about adding a bit more quality and energy to get it to the next level. That kind of maybe speaks to where you said the youth, because there is quality, and that's definitely going to be the energy.
That was starting me on the path.
First and foremost, fan can expect high energy from our squad. When it comes down to my team, work rate is the most important thing. Humility, honesty, and work ethic are three things that I always focus on getting out of the clubs I've worked at. I love the sound of that. Yeah. Ultimately, it's about winning football matches, and historically, I've managed to do that at the clubs I've been at. We want to win the regular season, win the Eastern Conference, and ultimately win the whole thing. That's the ultimate objective. I don't know when this deal was signed, but he's already got the structure in his head now. Yeah, we want to win the regular season title. We want to win the Eastern Conference title. We want to win the USL Cup as well, too.
Those are cliche things he has to say, but I believe it. You know, and the nice thing is, and I was talking to John Morrissey about this, and again, I'm going to reference, go to USL Tactics Substack and go subscribe to John Morrissey stuff. It is pure gold. If you're interested in league or just rowdy stuff, go subscribe to John Morrissey, please. I'm going to tag him every chance I get. But he talks about this.
He also writes a bunch of stuff on Backheeled, which is a great source for American soccer, especially lower division American soccer. The Athletic kind of has cut back on some of that stuff. That is one that I pay monthly for. I need to go get in on his Substack too. I read a lot of the free stuff he puts out there.
I just subscribed today. I didn't even know about it. But my point was something he talks about, and again, without giving away his whole article, one of the things he talked about is this system that he plays is very, very similar to what Neil Collins did. So this is something to where, again, we talk about that core of 11 players that we have currently under contract. They don't have to learn a whole new system, which means guys that were in their first year learning the system are now going to come into year two under a coach that's even more experienced under the same system, which, I mean, and something Neil got better at towards this last year was making changes on the fly tactically. Right. And that was an area where Nicky had issues. And that's not a knock on Nicky. He's a brand new coach, which, by the way, glad you hung around. We'll get to that in a minute, but this is a system that will be very reminiscent of what Neil did. There is some concern that he, and this is from, if you read a lot of the comments from ex-fans or teammates or whatever, they talk about how it's a very conservative style of soccer, but the same argument could have been made for Collins, and yet this was probably the most exciting version of Neil Collins ball I've ever seen. So,
right.
His system is designed on possession, movement, and high energy, quick turnover. So, I mean, there's, I think a lot of the things we saw from Pittsburgh and Charleston, Sacramento, teams that we, or even Birmingham, teams that we struggled against, we're going to see us start to implement, I think, some of those levels into our game plan. And I'm very excited to see kind of how this goes. So I think it's a fantastic signing. I'm super excited to meet this guy. I had the opportunity the day before the press conference to just say hello and shake his hand. Super nice guy. Seemed to be very down to earth. I mean, I literally said two words and he's like, hi, nice to meet you. I mean, it's like I had a full-blown conversation with the guy, but you know, you just kind of get a good feeling from somebody when you first meet them. Very much had that feeling. It's very, very, a lot of humility, just very humble, you know? So I'm excited, man. I think this is big. And to get this done so quick after the season's over and to have a full off season, not with just your core players, but to also look at getting players in that match, what you want to do, it's going to be huge for us. So I'm really excited about this all in all. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I was, you know, we've been throwing out and fans have been throwing out like the Hackworths and the Harks and some of the other sure. names out there around there. And it was like, yeah, okay, those are more familiar names probably for a lot of Rowdies fans than, you know, Robbie Nielsen. But yeah, the big thing, and when I first heard the name, I was, let me go do a little research, find out.
Yes.
Okay, you know, he's got a little bit of a track record in Scotland, getting teams promoted and doing well with them. It didn't end well. His second stint at Hearts was fired, you know, when they lost five or six in a row. So you kind of expect that most of the comments you're going to hear from the fans over there are mostly negative. One thing I did see doing a little bit of research is that when it came down to taking this job, it was either you'd gotten down to this or becoming the assistant coach at Rangers in Scotland, one of the big two clubs. And I thought it was, you know, it's Scotland, you know, like their league, their top league is I don't know how many teams are in it, but it's not like a 20 team league. It's a pretty small league. And it seems like a lot of coaches and stuff get recycled over there. And it kind of seemed like to me, he could have taken that Rangers job and, yep. you know, been around there for the next team that had an opening, or maybe something goes wrong at Rangers. And now he's in charge of one of the biggest clubs in the country. Yep. And, you know, he decided to take this offer and come over here instead. It was kind of interesting. And then reading about him, like you mentioned, like playing a similar style to Neil Collins, it was like, I was actually kind of a little bit impressed by the Rays ownership, at least, and going out and like, hey, who's going to be a good fit? Not right. who's the biggest name, not who's, you know, who are the ones that the fans are all coming, who has a history with the team going back to the 70s. It was, who's a good fit? If we're keeping these players,
yep.
who's a good fit for how they've been playing and where they've demonstrated success? So, yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I think it's interesting that Nicky's staying on as assistant coach. I wonder if we're going to see some, I assume this means there's going to be some changes in the coaching staff. Some of the assistants that were there, or, you know, maybe not going to be there. I haven't heard. I don't know.
It just seems so. Because all we've been running huge coach. The two coaches we lost. That's basically what we've done. And on a Facebook post that I made earlier today, because Nicky becomes the new John Stead, right? And then
right.
the assistant coach is still in place. Dabo's not going anywhere. He's your goalkeeper coach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything kind of stays the same. I had mentioned this on a post.
The only one I was questioning was Eric Wilde, and because we hadn't heard anything about him. But
I mean, he was in the three-coach system before. I mean, if he leaves, I mean, I would understand. But at the same time, if they decide to retain him, I mean, it's just exactly what we had before. But to your point, I mean, with Nicky Law staying on, I was a little surprised. But something I said on my Facebook post earlier today was I like the idea of Nicky Law staying on, though, because he fits the profile for an assistant coach. Because your assistant coach is supposed to be, one, be able to implement your system, right? He's got a good soccer mind. He just doesn't have the coaching experience, right?
Right.
But he's been around this league. He's played internationally. Like, he's a good soccer mind. So he'll be able to implement the tactics that Robbie wants to implement, right? Two, he's played in this system before, so he also understands the system. And he'll be able to talk with, you know, Robbie and provide, I think, ideas that make sense in the system, because he's not only just coached, now he's played in it. Three, he has a fantastic rapport with players. You know, the assistant coach, something that I've learned more about, his role is really be an intermediary between the head coach and the players, right? So he has a more intimate touch with the players than the head coach will. And that's just kind of the way that's kind of done by design, as I've learned over the years. Mm-hmm. And him having that kind of relationship with these guys respect him. They'll listen to him. He's been a player recently. He knows what these guys are going through. He'll know how to get to them and make them better. So I like the idea of Nicky Law staying on. I think it's a good move. And I hope to see both these guys stay on for the duration of their time here, until, you know, a better offer comes along, whatever that might be. But I like it. I think there's a lot of opportunity with this. Right? I think there's a lot of areas that can go pretty well.
I just think it's an interesting dynamic to have him go from being, you know, the boss for half of last season to dropping back to this role. But again, he's familiar with a lot of these players. I don't think it's going to be a big change. Honestly, I'm going to say when we interviewed him before the playoff game last year, it kind of seemed like maybe this arrangement he was already aware of this arrangement.
Doesn't it kind of feel like, I mean, and obviously we know nothing, but yeah, you almost wonder like, well, look, we didn't get who we wanted. Would you mind stepping in and kind of taking over that role through and get us to the end of the season and then move you into the assistant coach position? Like, was that part of the parameters of his hiring? You know, like, I don't know.
Interesting. We'll see how it works out. I think it'll work out fine. I don't think it's going to be an issue. It usually, like, you just don't see that happen that often.
Right. It's definitely weird in that regard. But
interim head coaches remains in the States. But, I mean, hey, Rio Grande Valley just announced yesterday or earlier today, I forget which one it is, that their head coach is leaving. So there are some spots out there. Who knows what could happen in terms of anyone being picked or even, you know, asked to do like an assistant kind of job. I don't think anyone's looking to go anywhere, but there's always going to be positions out there. So you've got to keep an eye on who's available and who can maybe fill some of these spots if needed. So
I think it'll work out.
It's a good experienced coach to learn under.
It's just the same.
Not like he has to build the chemistry. You know, he's going to be kind of the guy that helps the new coach build chemistry with a lot of these players.
Correct. Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it from Nicky's point of view, all right, that might be a little weird, but yeah, I mean, you get to learn under an established coach that's got proven success record, had success on a big level. You know, you get to live here in Tampa Bay. I mean, that's freaking awesome, right?
Yeah.
You get to be with a team that you have a good rapport with, you get to live in this beautiful place. I mean, there's a lot of good that comes from staying on. So I think for Nicky, it just makes sense. I don't think he would tell you that he's ready to be a head coach somewhere. Would he turn down the opportunity if it came up? Probably not.
Right.
But at the same time though, I mean, why not stay on at least even a year and learn under a guy who has proven to have success in the system with an established team? I mean, it just what a great opportunity to grow. So and to build your coaching career. So, you know, again, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he stuck around. I mean, for under whatever the reasons were, this whole thing went down and it all kind of came together. I'm happy with it. I think nothing but good can come of this.
Yeah. All right. So you had the idea the other day. I'll let you introduce it since it was your idea. The Thanksgiving segment of tonight's episode.
Yeah, we've kind of hit on a number of these already. So we knocked around the idea of doing like a top five. And like you said, pretty much all but one of these.
I did throw in an extra one here at the bottom, but we'll get to that.
All right. Pretty much lays across, but, the first one on my list, and I think it was probably number one. I don't remember if it was number one of yours, but it's who am I thankful for? What am I thankful for this year? And number one for me, and this one was intentional, it's Neil Collins.
It was top of my list. But my list was like in no particular order. But yeah, Neil Collins is definitely up there.
Neil Collins, I think,
in the entire
player. Just for what he meant as a player and a coach to take over during such a so much turmoil and just craziness and to basically take this modern Rowdies team into the direction that he did, obviously with a lot of support and a lot of help along the way, from players and staff. But I mean, we give Neil credit that Collins and rightfully deservedly so. I mean, that's like another guy who I'm so grateful, because here we are talking like our expectations are so high because he set them that high. You know, our expectations are to be in the championship game every year, and they're there because of the success that and the mentality and the attitude that he put into every aspect of his role here. He was never just a coach here, you know, and that's not just because he carried the role of
director.
Yeah, thank you, technical director. I mean, it's. Yeah, okay, so he was technical director and head coach, but he was so much more. I mean, he was so involved with every phase and every level, and just his attitude kind of it oozed out into every aspect of the club, from sales staff to front office to all the way over us to the grounds to just the whole stadium. Like, just what he made with his time here was just nothing short of incredible. And losing him midseason was absolutely heart wrenching, but I mean, I'm so excited for him overseas and the success he's been having and just his continued growth. I mean, just a great ambassador for the team. And if there's ever going to be a memorial for a non-player, although he was a player too, but a non-player statue, it'd have to be Neil Collins. Just he's meant too much as club. I think as we go forward from this time on, everything's always going to be referenced back to the Neil Collins era, because that's what it was. It was an era of just unbelievable memories. So I personally am grateful for his contribution to the team. I'm grateful for his friendship, I'm grateful for Neil Collins.
Yeah, I said when he left that he's probably the most significant figure in the modern era of the Rowdies based on what he did, mostly as a head coach. And, you know, it was one of those, and I'm happy to continue owning this and absorbing this L. When he was named head coach, I was like, I don't think this is a great idea, taking off our best defender to, you know, be the head coach he's ever coached before. Good Lord, I was wrong. That does not happen. Though
no,
that and you know people were saying, oh well, let make Lucky the head coach. He's a player. Like, you can't just take a player you like off the field and make them the coach and expect that they're going to do what Neil Collins did. You right. Can't expect that. Bill Edwards couldn't have expected that. In fact, Bill Edwards went to Joe Cole first and said, Joe, I want you to be the coach. And Joe said, you should go talk to Neil Collins. So honorable mention to Joe Cole for this, because without him, you know, if he takes that job, it's probably not going to be Neil's, spot that, what he did, the standard he set, which the fans and the players are still responsible for living, you know, fans are holding the club up to it today. The players know about it. He's left a legacy that it will be unmatched unless Robbie Nielsen, you know, goes undefeated and wins the championship in his first year, possibly. An awesome player, an incredible coach, and a better person on top of all that. My one favorite Neil Collins story, I've told this one a couple times, is a couple years ago they go up to Louisville, opening round of the playoffs at Slugger Field in the rain. There was a big watch party at Al Lang. We all got to go, you know, sit on the pitch and watch it. And it was an awful game, because games at Slugger are awful games, and games in the rain at Slugger are awful games. And we weren't at that level. And lose that game. It was like, I don't know, 1-2 or something like that. And the next day they were doing like the haunted house at Al Lang. Yep. And so I went home. I won a bunch of stuff there that night. I had a Beef O'Brady's gift card and a signed jersey, all this kind of stuff. I got that stuff that night. But go home. I come back the next day with my daughter. We go to the haunted house, and we get there kind of like right when it gets started. And Neil's there with his kids, taking them too. Like he's just gotten back. Like, he's talking to me about the trip back the night before, and we just start talking about his plans for the future and how much, you know, the loss the night before was going to eat at him. And we've already got this guy signed and this guy signed. And you couldn't tell me who they were. It was Lewis Hilton. we're really excited about this guy coming in, and this is going to be a big change for us. And he was one of those guys. Like the only other thing I can compare it to is I went to a USF football game one time and ended up spending like the entire second half talking about life with Leroy Selman, who just kind of wandered up and started just standing next to me, and I was just talking like that kind of person, that level of quality of person. Is what Neil is, and checking it now, has Barnsley I think currently sixth in the League One table, which is in the playoff positions. Unfortunately, they just got thrown out of the FA Cup for fielding an ineligible player, and a little bit of drama there. I don't know how much of that is him, and how much of that is the front office signing guys that aren't eligible or whatever. And Barnsley, I think, finished fourth last year, so in the playoff spots as well too. But you got to imagine with a coaching change and bringing in a first time coaching in Europe kind of guy that you might have some kind of drop off, and they're still right about where they were, which is kind of cool. Like they're level on points with Derby County and Blackpool and some of the other teams, but currently in that playoff spot have won 8 of their 16 games. Like they're on a pretty good streak right now. I'm glad to see him doing well.
It's a cutthroat league too. Like it's no joke over there. I mean, it is ruthless.
So I'm kind of glad to see that he's doing that. So, he's earned it. He deserves it. And hopefully him and Stead are have a successful year and can get into the playoffs and maybe get up into the championship. That would just be kind of mind blowing that, Neil Collins goes within 2 years from the USL championship to the English championship. Or if they don't, then, they could end up in the next season of Welcome to Wrexham, because Wrexham looks like they'll probably make it into League One by next year, too. Who knows at this rate?
Incredible.
I would just love to just give me a one episode of them playing Barnsley just because they want to have Neil Collins screaming for the whole episode.
If that game happens, I'm getting a ticket and I'm going over and watching that game live.
All right. So Neil Collins was our first shared one. Let me I'll bring up another one. Well, we mentioned Lucky Mkosana, so we'll
skip that one.
Kind of went into why. Let's do our number four, because I want to come back and get to our ones where we're different a little bit later. So number four, you had multiple double digit goal scorers: Jennings with 19, Williams with 12, Dennis with 11. I just said Cal Jennings specifically. Just for making me look good by saying this guy's going to score 20 goals in the season. But to see a guy, because we haven't always had this in terms of a forward who can score
or they come in looking like they're that guy and then just fall apart when they get in our system.
Yeah. We brought in guys where it's like, oh, this guy did great last year. With this team, we're going to bring him in this year. It hasn't happened, really. I mean, bringing in Georgie Ristoff, but Georgie Ristoff came from overseas. It was like Cal Jennings came from Oakland, or Vegas, wherever he was.
Vegas.
And it's one of those, like, we have not had the most success with bringing a guy in. And like we said, he had a little bit of struggles at first, but I think a lot of that was tied to Leo Fernandez's injury. But to persevere, persist, and to put together the season that he had, absolutely fantastic. But we're still at that point of the off season where it's like, oh, the playoff loss sucked, and we lost this game and lost that game. We still had the highest scoring offense in the conference, which, I would like to be at a point where we don't have to have that in order to be successful. That we can get back to the standard defensively that we've had in the past, where you didn't have to score 60 goals to be successful. But man, it was nice to be able to count on that to watch a game, and it makes it easier to bring like new fans and new people to and say, hey, watch this, because it's not like a 1-1 or a 0-0. It's Cal Jennings is going to score two or three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the reason I put the three of them, Jennings, Williams, and Dennis, is because the thing was, it could be any of them on any given day. And we've never had an offense. What are we so just, we were so used to the cross the ball, Georgie Ristoff puts in the back of the net, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Ristoff gets a redirect. Or Sebastian Guenzani gets
penalty.
A Yeah. I mean, it's like, it was just, it was our, you know, we never had multiple guys at multiple levels getting multiple double or getting double digit goal. I mean, just, it's unheard of. It's not something we're used to. And you're right. I mean, to bring in new fans, look, I mean, I get it. I mean, if you're not a diehard fan, like I can watch a 0-0 game and love it as much as I love a 7-0 game because I understand, I understand the tactics to a point, to a degree, and I understand the mentality that goes into a 0-0 game. But to new fans that don't understand, I mean, they want the excitement. They want to see goals, and I get it. Goals are exciting. Goals are fun. The energy, you know, and the crowd rises up. I mean, I totally get that. But we saw something new this year, and all three of these guys were so pivotal in that attack. I mean, we finished in the top five, if I remember correctly, of the league. I think we're top five in the league for attack. And then we were still top five in defense too. So, I mean, we didn't do that shabby. I mean, it's just, I mean, look, I'm grateful to these three guys because one, we have them all again for next year. They all got better as the season went on and they'll have another year in a brand new system, to develop. And we have more opportunity to learn how to utilize them. And they know better how to interact in this system and be successful with each other. So I am super excited for these three guys. I am very thankful for what they did this year for us because they saved us a number of times by outscoring the other team, if that's what it took. But the fact that we've got them again for another year and a chance to grow in the system is very exciting. So I am thankful for JJ and Charlie and Cal.
All right, go ahead and I'll let you introduce number five.
So I think this one's pretty straightforward, man. Rowdy's family, we are thankful for you guys. I mean, and not just through the pod, but just in their interactions we have in the stadium. For friends that I've had for a number of years, to people that I've met for the first time up in the stands or just talking with you guys, you know, through various social media outlets. Man, I mean, just Rowdy's family, what a year, man. This has been incredible. And on a personal level, you know, I had some loss recently and I can't tell you how many people reached out to me directly to just to give me their best wishes and people that, I mean, I'm friends with, but you just don't know until someone like you have that kind of interaction. And like, it was just like, it was amazing the amount of people from the Rowdy's family that reached out. And I'm talking from fans to players to staff, people that reached out across the board. Rowdy's family, I'm thankful for you guys. I love you guys. What an amazing year, man. And I'm so excited to do this, you know, to do not just this podcast, but just to be a part of this family, man. It's an awesome family. I'm so glad I came back into it 9 years ago. This is home for me. I love the Rowdies. So thankful for you guys.
Yeah. I don't have the exact numbers. This has to be the fewest home games I've made it to this year. Cause I had a stretch in, I spent nearly a week in the hospital over the summer. And then another, basically 2 weeks still recovering at home. And I was watching games, on my phone in my hospital bed for a while. And, back home there and the number of people who reached out, again, like you said, is just heartwarming. Had some good times this season. Honestly had some times, but it was nice to see some of the familiar faces, the friendly faces, see some new ones, spend time places other than certain bars that shall not be named because they are not worth talking about. But to spend some more time kind of, you know, pre-gaming in the lots and stuff and doing some hanging out there. Also, I want to give a very special shout out to Lizzie with her Rowdy's friendship bracelets. I still have mine on, wear it all the time. I wear it at school. Kids ask me about it at school and they're like, oh, the Rowdy's. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's just, it's kind of a cool thing. Since doing this show is something I've always been grateful for, where someone shouts out something in the stadium, like somebody I don't even know, just like says, you know, hey, listen, and I'm like, no idea who this person is. That's just kind of cool. Or the people I've gotten to know as a result, was fun. And, you know, like sitting at Dan's wedding was like a big part of all that. Like everybody there is someone I know people there that I know because of the Rowdies. And, you know,
exactly.
Someone like, you know, Jake is there. And like, Jake is a guy who starts out like writing stuff for our website back when we still had a website that people wrote stuff for. I kind of want to get into that again sometime, but I keep saying that and I don't ever really have time. So I got to figure out a way to do it. But to see him go from that to like working for the team now, which was really cool. And to see, you know,
taking just a big role with the team, you know, he's a big part.
Yeah. And you know, Dan getting married, because he met someone who was a friend of someone he met at Rowdy's games. Like, you know, I guess just, it's very cool. It's very, 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 very cool. And I'm glad to still be part of it. Not as much of a part as I have been in the past, mostly because I didn't make it to as many games this year as I want to. I'm still searching for that elusive season where I get to every home game. We'll see. Maybe next year will be it.
Yeah, I've got 7 seasons of never missing a game. I'm good. I've got 7 seasons.
No, honestly, I'm looking forward to making road trips again, especially once Jacksonville gets started. That'll be fun.
Wait, didn't Jacksonville? Oh, there's that new team in Jacksonville. Okay.
Yes. No, the Armada. Someone paid their closing costs to go to MLS Next Pro with a team that I co-own in Chattanooga FC. So. Left Nisa and joined as well too, but they didn't really have any other options. Nisa sucks, and it's not like they're coming to USL with the existence of Chattanooga, soon to be renamed because they lost a trademark suit. All right, so our next ones that our main one that's a little bit different, and then I have a little extra one because I can never answer a question easily. My other one I'm thankful for is the Bay Republic merch, folks. Because the amount, the quantity, the quality of stuff available has definitely improved in recent years, and that's something we've talked about in the past. And like, I don't personally love every single thing that's out there, but there are other people who do. Like, there is a good variety of stuff that's available in terms of hats, in terms of shirts, in terms of hoodie. By the way, we talked about it, Ben. I hit purchase on.
Oh, you did?
Go. Nice. They have their Black Friday sale has started. You can go to thebayrepublic.com. The code's up there at the top of their website. I'm going to throw it out there too. They are not sponsoring us, although they have inquired in the past about advertising stuff. Maybe we need to start doing some of that stuff again. Go to the website. You can buy. Everything is 30% off with the code BayFriday23, all one word. I just bought I went there looking at one hoodie and then ended up buying a different one. So I'm excited about that. It's just one of those, like, it's cool. Like, when you have cooler stuff like that, then people are more apt to buy it. And I see stuff at school. I see stuff in Bradenton. I see stuff in Sarasota. It's kind of a neat thing. What was your other one?
I'm gonna hit that just a second, but to kind of piggyback off yours just real fast. If you think about it, where we are now with merch compared to where we were 5-6 years ago with Nancy and that little store up at the front of the front of the stadium, where it was basically just jerseys and a couple hats and a couple shirts, and that was it. So the stuff we have now, which is, I mean, cool. I love the gear that they're pumping out right now. It is super awesome. I'm with you, man. Yeah. Bay Republic is
good quality stuff too, which is really cool.
Yeah, 100%. So my other one, and we've already talked about it, but I'm thankful for Robbie Nielsen, man. I'm thankful for a new head coach. I'm thankful to get a new guy in so fast, to get him into the system. I think he fits what we've been doing here. I'm excited for him to join the team. I'm thankful that he gets a full offseason to really get established and put his stamp on this team going into the 2023 or 2024 season. So. Very, very excited.
And the other one I just threw in there, I was thinking about this earlier, and then I forgot once I had the Bay Republic brainstorm. The team doctors, number one, dealing with the sheer amount of injuries, like, and I mean the doctors, the training staff, everybody, but also getting Leo Fernandez back on the field.
No kidding.
After that, you know, a non-contact injury in the run-up to a penalty is one of those things where you're like, that guy is out for, you know, the year. He might start running next preseason. Mm-hmm. No, he he got back. He got in the games. He contributed. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. And hopefully they have less work to do next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, please. I don't want to say that either. They had their hands full this year, and definitely those guys definitely worked their magic, and I'm grateful for them. I have one last one that I didn't list on here, and I was saving it for last.
Oh, that's right. You were saving one.
I was saving one for last because this has been so much fun. I've never been able to be in a position to talk rowdy soccer except through just little private chats and stuff with people I have opinions on anything about the team as long as I work from. And now I do. And so I wanted to say I am thankful for you, my friend. I'm thankful for you letting me jump on this podcast with you and get to talk soccer and just kind of get to know each other a little better personally, as well as just get to talk soccer, man, and just make a new friend in the Rowdy's family, and just get to talk. I mean, again, I get to share something that I love. I mean, I true love. I mean, like I'd say that I've said this a lot of times. I bled for this team. I sacrificed body parts for this team. And that's how much it means to me. So to get here and to joke around with you before the pod and on the pod and just to get to carry this torch forward has just been an absolute blessing, man. And I'm really grateful to be a part of the NU Substitutes and grateful to be your friend, man. So, yeah, I appreciate you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I don't need to dump all my stuff on Dan now that he's married and has a life of his own. But we joked about at the wedding that the venue where it was held, which that was a really cool place.
That venue was awesome.
I should have just gotten there earlier so I could have gotten an actual parking. I had to park over like on Central, I think, and wander over. But it was good. I needed to get some steps in after that before I drove home anyway. But yeah, it was, they had like a little podcast studio up there, and at various points of the evening, we were like, let's go upstairs. Let's go do this. Let's take care of this.
That was a legit studio.
And we never did. It didn't get to, which probably a good idea, because talk about another episode that probably would have never seen the light of day. But no, it's cool. I've been through a couple of variations of this, and this is one of the things that keeps me tied in and with the team and the club and everything else. So I'm glad to continue doing it. It was nice to take a little bit of a break, but when you reached out and said, hey, let's get this going, let's do something, it was I was like, hell yeah, let's get in, let's go do it. All right, I was trying to fill time for a little bit there because your video froze and I thought we ran out of time or something, and it kind of saw for a second. I was gonna wrap up and just save it if I had to. All right, it's been almost an hour and a half, and
that's incredible. That's a lot.
I've already gotten into the pecan pie, and I want to go have another piece. So, and I still have to take the dog out and feed her. So, let's wrap this up, and let's actually post this one for once. And happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody.
Take a break from listening to your family. Hopefully, this is 80-ish minutes or so of your day, and we will be back later when there is more news to talk about.
That's right, guys. We've definitely got some people lined up. So once we get things straightened out with them, we will definitely be back with some new perspective and some new stuff for you guys. So we're really excited going forward.
All right. So let's get out of here and stay tuned to us on online to find out when the next episode is, and sometimes we don't even know until like a day or two in advance, so when we decide, we'll put something out there. In the meantime, go listen to the RBLR guys, because they're doing stuff every week and cranking it out. In fact, I think they're recording tonight too. And we'll be back when we have some more stuff to talk about. All right, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. We both are thankful for everyone who does, and we will talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Come on, your Rowdies.
The rowdies are kicking the grass.